From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Matthew Smith, in for Julie Glenn. Planned Parenthood of Southwest and Central Florida says it could have to close its Immokalee clinic and possibly pull back on other services. That's if a change passed by Congress and signed into law last week by President Donald Trump strips them of their Title X family planning funding in the state. Ahead on the program, we'll talk with reps from Planned Parenthood and the Healthcare Network of Southwest Florida about how Title X is used in our region and what those changes to federal spending could mean for reproductive health here in Southwest Florida. Plus, they're called the Robot Rays, and they're a team of students at Seacrest Country Day School putting their interest in science and engineering to work by building robots who compete against other teams and other robots. After taking first at the Orlando Regional Competition, the team is headed to Texas this week to compete in the World Championship. We'll talk to the team seniors and their math teaching coach about what it takes to build an award-winning bot. First, the news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Matthew Smith, in for Julie Glenn. Creating a robot that can do things like climb or catch faster and better than another robot created by another team. Just the kind of challenge one Naples team needed. The Robo Rays from Seacrest Country Day School took first place in a regional competition earlier this year in Orlando and are now headed to the World Championship in Texas later this week. The competitions are organized by a nonprofit organization called FIRST, which stands for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology. Founded in 1989, it's designed to inspire young people's interest and participation in science and technology and has grown to include FIRST teams in schools across the country competing in things from Legos to robots to steampunk-inspired mechanisms. Here to talk to us about the local winning team is Coach Mark Berry. He's also a math instructor at Seacrest Country Day School. Mark, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you, Matthew. Thanks for having us.
Also joining us today, we have some seniors from the team. We have Tim Bowie, who is the Robo Rays safety captain and the human player. Interesting title. Welcome, Tim.
Hello.
And we also have build captain and driver, William Lafreniere. William, welcome to the show.
Hi.
All right, guys, we're talking about a local high school team that makes and builds robots. They compete against other robots to complete a variety of tasks. Do you have a question for what these teenage engineers can build and how they went about building a robot that can climb, catch, and shoot at targets? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. You can also reach out to us on WGCU Public Media and on Twitter. We're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. So, Coach Mark Berry, when did this team get started? I understand it was kind of stop and start for a couple years.
Yeah, it started over 8 years ago where they competed for a few seasons. A coach left. Some of the students lost some interest. And they started back up under a new coach, some new students. They stopped again. And then the Lafreniere family moved into the area from out of state. And they had been heavy into the program, and they were able to revitalize it for us.
And so you guys are seniors on the team. How long have you guys been on the team?
This is my second year on the team from coming down here last year and restarting it. And then, Tim, it's your...
Yeah, this is my first year on the team.
Okay, so you got a rookie senior and kind of second year. So you started when you were a junior?
No, I started on this team when I was a junior. I've actually been through the FIRST program since I was 9 years old. I started off with the FIRST Lego League, and then I went up through to the robotics competition. I spent 2 years on the team in Michigan. And then came down here for, helped start up the team.
So you're a seasoned vet, Will, for building these robots?
I guess so, yeah.
All right. And how big is the team? How many people are we talking about?
About 10, 12 people.
And each of you has a specific role when it comes to the team and what you're going to try and accomplish with your robot, right? So, Tim Bowie, you got first involved last year. Your title is human player to the non-robots. What does that title mean? What's that about?
Well, in the competition, there are two types of human players. There's one in the airship, which is in the middle of the field, and I usually do that. And there's another human player that's on the side, and they usually deliver gears or balls to the robot so they can pick up. And in what I do, I'm in the airship, and the robots are supposed to put a gear on the peg, and so I have to pull the peg up and place the gear on a rotor and spin it.
Okay. So we're talking about things like airships and gears. Coach Mark Berry, set the scene for us a little bit, if you could. What are we talking about? Are we talking about real airships here?
Well, this is a theme, kind of like almost a Disney-type theme. It's inspired by a steampunk variety where you have a steam-powered airship, which is just a structure, kind of a pillar in the center of the arena. There are actually two of them, one for each team. And there's a platform to walk around where the human players stand up there and retrieve the gears and almost navigate, be an extra set of eyes for the drivers who have a limited view of the landscape.
And are we talking about real gears here?
Well, the gears are they are real gears. They're 2 inches thick by 11 inches wide. So they're a replica of a gear that you might see in a mechanism for any piece of machinery. And in this case, it is to turn a rotor, which is going to propel the airship.
All right. So assembled team members, Will and Tim, I want you guys to help us set the scene here because we're actually going to play a small piece of audio from when you guys were competing in Orlando. So set the stage for us. We're going to hear about airships and we're going to hear about the gears moving around and the rotors spinning. What is happening in the clip we're about to hear? When the rotors are spinning, how do you guys get rotors to spin? What are we talking about here?
So this year's theme, as you said, was steampunk. And so basically one of our tasks to get points was to gather gears and then deliver them onto these spring-loaded sort of pegs. With our robot, and then they would be hoisted up by Tim and other human players, and then they would put them into place. And with enough gears in place, you can, quote, spin the rotor, which is just a signal for, after a certain number of gears, you get a certain number of points. A lot of it is just for show and aesthetics, like the whole theme and the gears. But it's basically we're delivering a sort of an object to a location for points.
Okay. And so, Tim, how big are the robots that we're going to hear? Unfortunately, we don't hear the whirring and the buzzing of the robots on the ground, but how big are the robots that we're talking about here?
Our robot is like 2 foot tall and about 3 foot wide.
Okay. So Is it like a box?
Yeah.
All right.
A big box.
Rolling around on tank treads or walking around? Like, how's it moving around?
It's a tank tread. Or no. It's tank drive?
Yeah. It's 6 wheels, 3 on either side, and it's what's called tank drive, which is basically one side will move or the other side will move or both move, and that allows us to do zero-point turns, things like that. Right. And the wheels are actually offset with the middle one being lower than the others, and that allows a little bit of pivot in the frame, which allows for us to do these fast turns and things like that.
All right, we're going to talk about how you guys built this robot in just a minute. But first, let's take a listen now. This is the Robo Rays competing in their Orlando Regional earlier this year.
2, 1, go!
Here we go in the first finals match. Team 180 Spam delivers a gear to their airship. Team 2383 and Engineers deliver a gear to their airship, as does Team 1065 the Moose. That means Blue Alliance now has 2 gears. 1 minute. That gives the Blue Alliance a lead so far. The score shows 123 to 118. Team 180 delivering another gear to their red airship. Team 1065, the Moose, delivering a gear over to their pilots. 1 minute, 20 seconds left. The Moose delivering another one to their airship. Spam delivering another to their airship. So far, we have 2 rotors spinning for red, 3 rotors spinning for blue. But here comes the Red Alliance. We now have 3 rotors are spinning for red. 35 seconds. Get ready for the end game. Here comes the Blue Alliance. Team 86 is going up. 180 is up. Here comes more blue and more red. That's 3 up for red. Can the blue match it with 10 seconds left? The Moose has got to get up. 7 seconds. 3, 2, 1. Red Alliance has 4 rotors are spinning. 4 rotors are spinning for red.
All right, those rotors were spinning. So, Tim and William, I want to ask, what were you guys doing when we heard that audio clip? We know that you guys were trying to deliver some gears and stuff. So what were you specifically doing, Tim?
I was helping deliver gears down because I was in the airship that round. I was down on the side delivering gears and helping Will.
So you're handing a gear by hand?
No. There's a little chute that you could either dump balls in or throw the gear in, and I just threw the gear in. And our robot can pick the gear off the floor, so I just dropped it before he could come, and he just drove by and picked it up.
All right, so you're putting those gears in the chute. They go into the robot. What's the robot's name, by the way? You got to have a name for the robot, right? You just calling him the robot?
It's an active work in progress. We've never really settled on a name because nothing really seems to fit it perfectly, you know?
Well, maybe we'll get there by the end of the show. So those gears go down the chute, and Will, where do they go? They come to you next?
Yeah, so our robot picks up off the ground. I act as the driver. It's sort of technically three-part drive system, but two people drive it. One person, I'm physically driving it. Another person is the manipulator whose job is to go over and actually control the mechanisms, the climbing mechanism, the gear pickup mechanism, all those things he controls. And then we have a third person called the drive coach, who's not necessarily a team coach. And they can be an adult. We prefer to have a student do it. And it's basically their job to oversee the entire game and, you know, tell us where to go, things like that. So at this time, when it comes to picking up a gear, you know, Tim will drop a gear. Our drive coach would signal me to go over. I drive over and intake this gear off the floor and then bring it back, and I can deliver it onto the peg.
All right. And I know that whole competition ended with this robot. Now, let's just remind folks, we're talking about a square, 2-foot by 3-foot rectangle, I guess, on tank treads, and that thing had to climb a rope up to the airship, Tim, where you were waiting. How does a box that weighs how many pounds?
About 145.
How does a box weighing 145 pounds climb a rope?
Well, for our robot, we had a winch on our robot, and we customized our rope. We made it out of Velcro, and we had some heavy-duty Velcro on our winch too. So once the rope touched the winch, it was not coming off.
Wow. So yeah. You went for the glue, not like a good grip, but the glue of the Velcro. That's pretty cool. So, Mark, what kind of problem solving went into figuring out how to make this robot climb a rope? How did you steer these members of the RoboRays into figuring it out and making sure it worked in competition?
Well, when the game was first released on January 7th, before our 6-week build time, we have a specified amount of time we have to build, there was a lot of excitement. We had just gotten the information, and so there was a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of excitement, but we really didn't know exactly how to tackle each of the tasks. And everybody had a lot of good ideas. We broke them into groups. People shared their ideas. Then we got into one large group and pitched our ideas to each other so that they could collaborate, and some of that brainstorming could come to a more group decision. And after that, during the build season, they worked on individual or separate components of the robot. And many of these systems, they talked about shooting balls or climbing or picking up gears off of the ground. Many of these things went through 3 to 6 or 7 iterations that some worked well, some didn't work at all. And they continue to perfect these systems until they have what they're working with today.
All right. We're talking about the RoboRays, a group of students from Naples who took first place at the regional competition in Orlando and now are heading to the World Championship in Texas. We're talking to Coach and Math Teacher Mark Berry and also members of the RoboRays team, William LaFerriere and Tim Bowie. Do you have a question or a comment? Give us a call, 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU. So, Will, Tim, what other ideas were kind of abandoned, I guess, or weren't pursued to make this robot climb the rope? How did you guys decide what was the right path to take?
So, I feel like – I think we always kind of knew we would have to do something with a modified winch, something like that. But unlike all the other mechanisms where it went through, we went through a bunch of planning and all this work. We actually just kind of worked it out and built prototypes after prototypes trying to figure out what exactly worked. And we ended up finding this what's known as a gear orbital system. It's basically an enclosed sort of like a tube with a bunch of gears running around each other. And we added that to our winch to increase its torque, to give it the power to lift this massive robot. And we just basically kept, you know, trying new things until we got something that worked.
And is that the kind of I mean, do you guys feel like you're learning even when an idea doesn't work? Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, I was so we had a little ball hopper on our robot, and I was in charge of, like, making that. And I had to make, like, about, like Mr. Barry said, 7 prototypes, and they wouldn't work. They never worked.
But, I mean, does it feel like something that do you feel badly when it doesn't work, or do you feel like you're really learning what does work every time a product a prototype comes and doesn't work?
No, it just made me want to, like, figure it out. Like, it just motivated me.
All right. So now you guys are going to Orlando. It's the same robot. I'm sorry, Texas, right? You're going to Texas for the World Championship. You were in Orlando for the regionals. Is it the same robot? Are you guys allowed to make any changes between what won in Orlando and what's happening in Texas?
No, we're not actually allowed to change anything on the robot between these periods. We get a very tight 6-week build period. And once that happens, we actually have to take our robot, put it in a big plastic bag, and then take these huge zip ties and tie it off. And we're not allowed to touch it again until our competition, when we can take it out. And, you know, any changes that we might think we need to make there at the competition. And then by the end of it, if we make it to the next level or we have another competition, we have to bag it up again. So we haven't touched this robot in probably a month or two.
So pretty strict about making sure you guys don't make any tweaks. After seeing what the other teams did, do you have any ideas that you think, man, that would be great if we could just add that to our robot? Tim, how about you?
Some LEDs.
Is that just for style or
yeah.
Some flash?
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, Will? Did you see them, any other problem-solving ideas that they had that you guys didn't think of?
Everyone's always going to have a different idea, a different system. And I feel like for us, yes, we could spend all of our resources trying to rework our entire system to try and match somebody else's. But what we have, I think, works pretty well for us. And it works for multiple strategies, which we like. And I mean, to a certain extent, you want to stand by what you've made and take pride in it, you know.
And so, Mark, you're now coaching the robo team. You'll be taking this group of about 12 or so to Texas. You were a sports coach for 16 years, you said. What sport did you coach?
Well, a little bit of everything. Baseball, softball, track, basketball, cross country.
And I want to come back to that in just a moment. But before we finish up our show, I want to try and get a call in here. We have Mark giving us a call. Mark, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. What would you like to share today with our Robo Rays?
Yeah, I just wanted to congratulate the team. It's great work they're doing. I actually started the first Lego League program in Haiti 10 years ago, and I just have been so impressed with the overall first robotics program and first Lego League program. It's such a great program. You guys have done such a great job. But congratulations, guys. Good luck at the world competition.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us, Mark, and congrats to you guys. Got some fans out there. I want to ask about what Mark was just talking about, the first robotics league and the kind of skills it teaches. But real quick, back to you, Mark. What kind of coaching skills transfer from sports to the Robo Rays?
A lot of the group dynamics. I mean, how they're going to work together, individually, what their strengths and weaknesses are, and gearing them to or directing them into what they can do currently and what they're able to do and seeing their potential, but then also their group dynamics of how they're going to work together and making sure that we push them right up to that edge of storming almost with each other in their group work and individually, but then backing off and giving them support so that they can continually be successful and learn from those mistakes that are eventually going to come.
And I want to ask you guys, we're kind of running out of time here, but real quickly, STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, those are the kind of skills you're applying here when you're building your robots, competing against other teams. Is this something you guys want to pursue professionally down the road later on in school? Tim, how about you?
Yeah, I thought about pursuing a career in engineering. And
specifically robots or bridges or something a little more stationary?
At first, yeah, like civil engineering. I was really interested in that. But I think I'm a move from buildings to maybe machines.
Yeah. How about you, Will?
I'm going to go into robotics engineering, actually. So
what does that entail for people who might not be going to college anytime soon? Maybe they did it years ago. What does robotic engineering degrees look like?
So for me, it's going to be a robotics engineering technology degree. So it has a lot to do with the systems that run these things. It's less focused on building the parts as much as getting the machine as a whole to operate. You need to know a little bit of mechanical, a little bit of electrical, a little bit of coding. It's kind of bringing it all together.
So building the brain for it. I imagine that's a lot of software work as well.
Yeah.
All right. So guys, we're finishing up our time here, but is there anything else you want to say about what to expect or what you expect in Texas when you go later this week for the World Championship?
You know, there's a lot of strategy. There's a lot of what ifs and hypotheticals that they go through in looking at what to expect. And they've been very level-headed and very mature in their outlook in saying, hey, you know what? We have a game plan. We have a strategy. We know it works well for our team. We know how to work well with other teams and the alliances we're dealt with. And we're going to take it one match at a time. And that's been their outset over the previous two competitions. And that's what they're looking forward to in Houston. And that transfers very well to their younger team members. They've developed a good, strong knit there.
And if you want to find out more about the Robo Rays and their Texas adventures as they bring their robot to the World Championships, we have links on our website to their team. You can see pictures of their robot, as yet unnamed. And hopefully we'll provide some updates when you guys get back from Texas. So thanks very much to our guest, Mark Berry, the Robo Rays coach and math teacher at Seacrest Country Day School. Thanks, Mark.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us again.
And Tim Bowie and Will Lafreniere, thanks so much, guys, for joining us today. Good luck in Texas.
Thank you.
Our show today was produced by me, Matthew Smith, and directed by Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Matthew Smith, in for Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.